Welcome to Off the Cuff with SDJ, a podcast about everyday life from the spiritual, the physical, and the metaphysical perspective. Each week, I'll bring you episodes that have a casual, laid-back, informal, and spontaneous look at this thing we call life. I'm Sunny Dawn Johnston. Now let's get started. Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to Off the Cuff with SDJ and my friend today, Marlo Ellis. Hey, sister.
Hi.
So happy to have you
guys
here. Finally.
This is amazing. I know. I know. I feel like it has been so long since I met you, and it's only been like a year and a half.
Yeah.
So anyway,
a year and a half, but it's been like 6 of those months in pandemic. So
right. It's like 10 and a half years. That's what it feels like. Anyway, I'm so honored to be here. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for being here. All right, my friends, welcome, welcome. And today you have a real treat. You're going to get to learn a little bit about Marlo and what she's doing with the Uncommon Woman. So I want to start by just reading a little bit about Marlo so y'all know a little bit about her before we jump in and get started. So hang tight while we share a little bit about you, my friend, because you got some stuff going on.
Got some stuff going on.
I like
so
it.
So do you. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. we like to well,
keep
I do.
It going.
I keep busy. What would I do otherwise?
I know.
I don't know. Hang out by the pool.
Well, that's what I was doing. Yeah. It is like hot here. I mean, it's hot where you are every day, but wherever I am, you know, like Northern Ontario, we get really excited when it gets hot. We're in the last days of our summer.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know? Sometimes it snows there in like June and July.
Sometimes. Well, you know, where I am, we don't get snow in June, but pretty much anytime after the end of September, it's open, you know, it's open to anything until May, I would say.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's short. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta soak it up. Yeah, it is
100%.
It's 112 right now in Phoenix.
What the? I'm moving to Phoenix.
Yeah.
Hope you got a spare room, sister.
Yeah, it's warm.
I'm coming for you.
There's plenty of pool time, my friend.
Okay, let's
do this bio. So those of you that do not know Marlo, so Marlo is the founder and CEO of the Uncommon Woman Incorporated. Coach of feminine leaders and founder and visionary of the Uncommon Woman, Marlo helps women transform their painful past into their personal power so they can unlock their full potential and maximize their impact in life and in business. Marlo believes that the most powerful woman in the world is the woman who can stand on the shoulders of her story with confidence, courage, and clarity. I love that.
Amen, sister.
I love that. Her vision is to support feminine leaders as they create a strong presence in life and in business through the destruction of fear-based decision-making. Marlo believes that by building an awakened, powerful connection between their stories of strength from struggle and their present, women can achieve their full potential while creating a massive impact. I love
it. Yeah, baby.
Go, women.
Who died?
That's right. I like it.
It's always good when you hear your bio and you're still like, yeah, I still believe that.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good thing.
Yeah, it is a good thing. I'm happy to have you here. So let's talk about how we met first. Because everybody always
is
like, how do you know each other? So
that may have been one of the best weekends of my life on so many levels. On so many levels. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about it. I love it.
So we were at a international women's conference in
March.
Yeah, I don't even remember.
Yeah.
March of last year. It seems like it was 10 years ago.
It really does. It really does. I was actually showing somebody a picture that I took with all of you rock stars because I was talking about Liz Gilbert's book, City of Girls.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, and oh my gosh. And here's Sunny. It was yesterday. And I was like, look at this great picture. Look at this incredible group of women. Of course, you're like right smack dab in the middle of it. And then I was like, oh my God, that was last March. It feels like forever ago because so much has happened in the world.
For sure.
Right?
For sure.
It was a beautiful weekend.
It was a beautiful weekend. Yeah. We got to sit next to each other.
We did.
We spent a lot of time at the at the author's dinner. So we didn't know each other, but we got to know each other very quickly. Yeah. And I definitely felt a soul sister connection. And so I'm so glad we're coming back together today.
Me too. And I want to just lift you for a moment. So I know that everybody in your community knows you, but a lot of the people in my community don't. And I remember sitting beside you when we were, you know, at the big event, and it was so warm. I just remember, you know how sometimes you get sitting beside somebody and you're like, there's just not, you know, you're just sitting there. Yeah. But I remember sitting beside you and you and I were doing a lot of like that amen sisters. Like there was, there was an instant kind of a, we were there having the same experience. You know, obviously as entrepreneurs and as women who have had our own struggles, we were both just like, oh yeah. And I just remember feeling really drawn to you. And so, I like how we've stayed connected because, you know, these conferences, you're like, we're going to stay connected. And then you don't always do that. So I really honor you for it.
Yes.
You know?
That's very true. I think that's really good. Sometimes you just kind of feel like you're in your chair. And then sometimes you feel like you're kind of enmeshed in with the people around you. I probably was leaning in and probably slapped you on the leg a couple times.
Oh yeah. No, we were both like, what? And I mean, the speakers were off the charts, right? Yeah. I mean, we had like Dr. Trevor Trent and Liz Gilbert and, Glennon Doyle and Christian Northup. I mean, Lisa Nichols, like it was like one after another, you know, one after another. So it was just one of those kinds of unforgettable weekends. Yeah. And you were right there in the middle of it all. Doing your stuff, being a genius.
So tell me about, because I actually don't know your whole story. So tell me about how Uncommon Woman got started. Because I know you'd had some rough times and you were a successful business owner. And then you kind of moved into this whole new segment where you're supporting so many thousands of women. So tell people a little bit about what the Uncommon Woman is and how you got started.
So the Uncommon Woman originated obviously from a desire to be surrounded by women who got me and understood my life and understood what I had gone through. So several years ago, I was in gym ownership. I was in the fitness industry and I had met a man and he and I shared a fitness studio. It was his fitness studio. He invited me and we fell in love, moved in, the whole thing, right? The whole perfect story. And from the outside, it was really super perfect for like 3 months. And then it got emotionally and verbally abusive. And I had never experienced anything like that before. It was not my, you know, I didn't come from a pattern of abuse of relationships, or that wasn't my story in my family. Mm-hmm. But there was a little crack in my foundation. I was at a crossroads in my life. I had been living internationally for many years and I came home and I was feeling very vulnerable and he opened his doors. So there was a different kind of, like, looking back, I now see that I was at a really vulnerable time in my life and he was offering everything to me. Right. And so I took it and it seemed so perfect. Of course, when anything seems too good to be true, often it is, because he had no flaws. Right. And my mom kept saying, he's just too good to be true. Well, you know, several months later, it ended up that there was a lot of self-serving purpose behind everything that he had done. But anyway, that being said, 18 months later, I had to leave that relationship when he threatened to kill me if I ever left him. So of course I had to leave. And so at this point was when I really started sharing with my family and friends what was really going on. And prior to that, as so many women experience when they are in abusive relationships, there's a lot of fear and hiding and shame. And I was like the cookie cutter, super strong fitness professional in the community. He and I had built this really powerful fitness business and we were standing out as this couple, the only couple in the city who was doing this together. And so, of course, that's how we were marketing ourselves. And we wanted everybody to think that we were amazing. But when things started going bad behind closed doors, because now we're living together and sharing a business together, I just didn't know how to share. I just didn't know where to start, because I knew that I was going to be the one that would get kicked out of the business because I was coming into his business. Mm-hmm. So I just saw my whole future kind of flash before my eyes, right? And so 18 months later, I gathered my troops around me and I left. And I remember reflecting on that time in my life and really wishing that I had had a community like what is now called the Uncommon Woman, where I could come in and say, I'm in an abusive relationship. And I didn't know that that's what it was until somebody told me what it was, who happened to be my therapist. And I need to get out and I need to talk to somebody who understands what I'm afraid of and who won't judge me and who will just hold space for me, you know? Now, I had a really good friend who has been one of my best friends since the beginning of time. And she was not only a client in my gym, but also one of my best friends. And so she got to witness what was going on. And she's the one that said, you know, Marlo, I think that this is abuse. Like, this is now crossed over into abuse. So she was the really only the person that I had spoken to about this. But she was still, you know, a friend of so many years. And she was also had a connection to him. And I just needed that space where I could come in and be an anonymous soul and say, this is what's happening. So fast forward to 2015. So I left him 2012, and I opened up my own fitness facility for 3 years. And it was really successful. And what happened was women were coming to me, and I was creating in that time what I needed, which was a space, which was a gym, where women would come after work and they would talk about their marriages, about their health, about their work, about their children. And I was like, oh my God, I'm creating this thing, this community that I needed before. Mm-hmm. So in 2015, I knew that I needed to transition into some level of coaching and make it an online presence so I could reach more women. So I closed the doors to my gym, and the Uncommon Woman was born in 2016. And it really is a space for women to come in and share, and they can say anything. They can talk about suicide or addiction or mental health or affairs. Either they've had the affair or it's happened. Like, we talk about it all, and there's absolutely no judgment in there. And so that's where it came from. So that's the story.
I love it. And I think that's so important for me as well. In my history, doing the work that I do as a psychic medium and a spiritual teacher, that was also one of the things I didn't have was community. And so it's interesting that both of us having completely different experiences and perspectives, but being drawn to create community because we needed it.
Absolutely.
Because we needed it, of course, the ripple effect is then we attract the people that need it as well. But I think a lot of times it's something that you don't know you need it until you're past the point that you need it. Like, it's like,
oh my gosh,
I needed this yesterday or last year, you know? Right. And so I'm so grateful for communities with women because, mm-hmm. you know,
me too.
You had the intention of pulling those women in. I personally, I didn't like women. I didn't want anything to do with women. Like, I was like, okay, mm-hmm. they're bitchy and they're snotty and they're judgy. And I always stayed away from them. And then ironically, spirit creates a situation where the field that I get into is 90% women. And so Sunny had some work to do.
Right. Spirit saying, here you go.
Yep, right in your face, Sunny. You figure this out now. Now you get to hang out with all these right. women. Now, so grateful that I moved through that. But yes, community, yes. community. I love it.
Yeah. It's so powerful. And thank you for, you know, mentioning ripple effect, because, you know, we always need to kind of create what it is that we need in our own lives, right? And so through me creating community, it's, you know, inspired other women to create their own communities, because they have voids in their life, and they have, you know, people around them that they see in need, whether it's to create space for, you know, mothers of murdered children or whatever. But it's really beautiful that when we kind of do our thing,
yeah.
then we inspire other people to go and do it. And of course, I was inspired by a woman who I hired as a coach at the beginning as well. So, and she had created this massive community. So I love that the ripple effect really is like just community upon community. It's hard to say, you know, until all of a sudden there's kind of like this massive movement of yeah. women's communities sprouting up all over the place.
Yeah.
So powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. Powerful and empowering.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So with the Uncommon Woman, like, I know that it's all women, and they get to show up in just who they are, and that part of what you do is help them, isn't it, to help them flip their story, like learn mm-hmm. how to take their story, and instead of having it feel like when we're in the shit, it always feels like we're powerless, and then turning it into an empowerment. So is there... Do you do, and I know you're a coach, so do you do coaching in that community? Is it mm-hmm. something that people are just learning from each other? Or how does the Uncommon Woman work?
Right. So I would say that the biggest thing that I saw outside of needing a community was I had to take the crappy stuff that had happened to me and I had to flip it pretty quickly because everything that I had was invested in that relationship, in the home that we were living in together, because he had moved in with me and I had moved into his workspace. And so I had to take my crappy story and kind of flip it into my, okay, here we go. This is your moment to rise, right? And I remember sitting there on my bed and thinking to myself, I have two choices here. I can hide under the covers, which was really what I wanted to do. I felt so tapped out. Or I can take this and I can run with it. And I can be the woman who started her own business on $1,000. And, you know, like, so I just flipped it and I worked really, really hard. And I just kept asking myself, you know, why is this happening? Why is this important to me? Why is it important that I keep moving forward? And of course, every step I took, there were people around me going, oh my God, that's so amazing. I wish I could do that, or I need to do that, or you're really inspiring me, right? And so what I started recognizing was that I was becoming a master at taking my messes and kind of turning them into my mastery, right? And so, you know, and I know that you probably know this, and so many people experience this. You don't realize that you're doing it when you're in it, because you're so in it and you're just, you feel like you're barely getting by. Yeah. And then you make a few steps forward and you stop and you turn around and you're like, holy shit, I just did that. I just started a gym on $1,000, like, which everybody told me was impossible. And it wasn't just going, I literally created a gym, you know? And then I thought, I don't know anything about owning a fitness studio, you know, because he and I were in collaboration and it grew together. But so then I had to step into, how do I do this? And I just kept, you know, doing it. So to answer your question, what I have done now is I've created programs that reflect back to women the power that they already carry within. Because the thing is, when you leave, that's ridiculously hard. And that takes somebody who's really strong. So even though we might feel disempowered when we leave or when they leave and we're like getting up every morning and breathing and feeding ourselves, that's an incredible strength. And so what I do is I reflect back to women, hey, do you realize that you've done some really hard things? Like, you've borne a child from your body. That's pretty freaking incredible. You've left a relationship. You've picked yourself up off the ground. You've recovered from addiction. These are all really powerful things. Let's take that story and turn that into your superpower so that you can maybe not only kind of motivate yourself to keep going and to keep growing, but also, what if there's one other person out there who's in the addictive cycle right now and they just need you to say, okay, so what I did was I just stopped drinking one day and then I turned and I got help. Like, that's that right there can save lives, right? Yeah. And so what I do is I coach women through the process of not only kind of moving out of that victim mode into victor and taking that story and flipping it. I like to say alchemizing it, pain into power. But then what I do is I also show them how to take that and like really rise with it and turn it into their story, into their life work. And often women who have been in crisis, and this is a divine feminine thing that women do, is we like to take that thing that has caused us so much pain and turn it into our life purpose. Mm-hmm. Right. So, sure. So many women who've experienced sexualized violence, for example, they want to be vocal. They want to support other. It's just what we do. So I help them move into that, you know, into that, onto that path, I guess. And so that they can either just do it as a passion, or they can turn it into their business, into their life work, which is what I did with my story. Yeah.
Sure. And a lot of people end up doing that. And that becomes the purpose of the experience, is to bring the passion and the presence to help others. You know, and if we change one person, I know when I was starting, you know, I was a single mom, teenage mom, food stamps, welfare, the whole bit. And when I finally got out of that, it was like, okay, if I can help one person avoid that situation, or one person get through to the other side in one piece.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Then that's worth it, because I already did it. So I'm already alive. I might as well do something with this life.
Right. And I feel like sometimes we just have to be one or two steps, you know, kind of ahead, like, oh my gosh, I just did that. You know, I just left an abusive relationship. I just did that. Let me support you. You can do it. Like, we don't have to be leaps and bounds ahead. We just have to have just been there, or we're just moving through it. And we can take that wisdom that we have, you know, gained, and just say, hey, here's what I did. And it might support you. And if not me, here's my community. And it's full of people who one of them might have, you know, the right answer for you or be a good fit to, you know? So, yeah.
The tool that you might need, because everybody right. has a little bit different language and has a little bit different perspective.
Amen. Yeah. You know, and that's why I love the community. One of the things I love to do in the Uncommon Woman community is, for example, if somebody comes in and they share that, you know, they've been recovering, you know, they're in recovery for like 6 months, I'll go in and I'll tag a bunch of the women that I know are comfortable supporting other women. And I'll say, here are five names of women who are right now recovering. And they're on like year five, year 10. And these women will come in and say, hey, you can connect with me. And right. So obviously, I have limited experience. Right. But what I can say to anybody is that you can do it. Like you can do it. Mm-hmm. You can do it. I know you can do it. Yeah. You might just have to dig real deep.
Yeah.
You know, and there's going to be days where you don't want to. And that's okay. Like take the day off. You know.
Yeah, a day off is okay. A day off is okay. Not so much.
Right. Yeah. You know, like if you need to just stay in bed for a day and you know, like it's just the journey is the reason why, you know, is the reason, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm reading The Alchemist right now, and there's just so much beautiful story in there about, it's all about the now and the journey, and it's not getting to the pyramid. It's the walk through the desert, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, just remembering that it's okay to have crappy days and all of those, because as many of those as you have, you're also going to have the really incredible days where you like get the stuff done and you're like, feel like a rock star, you know? Yeah. So yeah.
Well, and sometimes those crappy days, if you can just remember, okay, I just got done with the crappy day, that means a really great one is coming. Like, yeah. Not all crappy days.
No. Like, it's an ebb and flow, right? And those crappy days make the good days seem oh so powerful. You know, it was like, that was such a bad day, and today has been so amazing. I've got so much accomplished. Even if it's just getting through a day without having a drink, or getting through a day without taking a phone call from somebody that you really want to take the phone call from, or like, it can be basic, or it can be like, hey, listen, I just had my first client, or my 100th client, or my 1,000th client, or whatever it looks like, but it's all the journey, right? And we don't want to be walking that journey alone. And that's why I love what you're doing, because I know that you have such a powerful community and you communicate so well with your community, right? And it's because we love this right here is what makes us not feel so isolated. You know?
Yeah. Well, it's all about connection, right? I think that that's part of, I think, what people may not be as aware of yet, but even through this pandemic, the lack of connection, and I understand people are going through it in different ways, but there's so many people that we forget that we are social beings and that we are meant to be connected. And so many of us were taught, you can do it yourself, you figure it out yourself. And we've kind of, you know, lived that way. And that's kind of our little badge. And now that's been taken away in a lot of ways, and we're not as able to do that. I think a lot of people are going, shit, I need that. Like, mm-hmm. I love that. And connection is like, that's probably my favorite thing out of almost everything, besides squeezing people too. But
right,
connection, I know connection is a powerful, powerful force in your life too.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, when you think about Maslow's, you know, hierarchy of human needs, love and belonging and connection is right in the middle. It's number three. So, you know, after everybody kind of, you know, gathers the toilet paper and the food and they get safe, which are the first two, right? Then from there, you're like, oh my God, now what's missing is human connection, right? And human connection has been such a powerful force in my life. And I thank God every day that I have this community that I feel like, I don't know if you know who Danielle Laporte is, but she's like a spiritual guru in Canada. And she always says this right here, this whole COVID thing, this is the light workers Olympics. And I love when she says that, because she's like, we've been preparing for this, you know, like we've been building our communities. We've been talking about connection and the importance of sisterhood and conversation and community forever. And if there was ever a time to say, this is why. This is it, right? This is the time. And it has absolutely, like, I'm at a girlfriend's place. I have one of my best friends is in my bubble. And so we've been like spending the afternoons together, right? And it's just been so powerful because she's working from home. I'm working from home. And I said to her, I need to do this. So we hang out in the pool and we sit and we talk. And sometimes we just listen to music, but it's that human connection that is irreplaceable, right? Like, had I not met you, Sunny, at an event sitting shoulder to shoulder, I wouldn't feel like I had this level of knowing with you.
Right.
And even though we didn't have a ton of time to actually sit in a room and jam out for hours about our lives, we were shoulder to shoulder. Right. And you can't undo that. And so that's the power of connection, you know? Yeah.
And how important I think it is. And I think people are getting a big lesson in that now to realize those that you're connected to that you don't want to be, that you're like, oh shit, that I got some reevaluating to do.
Amen and, on that. Right?
And then the other side of it, right? The people that you're like, man, I have not spent enough time, energy with some of the people that I really, really want to. So it's creating clarity. And I love that you said, Danielle said that, because I've been saying that since the pandemic started. I said, I was born for this shit. This is right. I was born for it. This is not because I love it. Not because I think I was born for it.
You have the tools, right? Like you've been working on it and resiliency and, you know, being super vulnerable and sharing what's going on. I think one of the things that's happening with a lot, or I don't know about right now, but the first several months, right? People didn't know how to share what they were experiencing. They didn't have anybody to share it with because they were afraid that they were going to be judged or whatever. And so just having those communities and having practiced vulnerability and pain and being able to sit in your pain and know it's not going to kill you. It's painful, but I'm going to be okay. It's impermanent, right? It's not going to always be this way.
Right.
So I feel the same way, even though I feel like everybody else, I've had moments where I'm like, oh, I am so done with, you know, but it's also been one of the greatest lessons of my life is this pandemic. I mean, when you said, you start to really put value around those connections that you maybe didn't. So there's always the connections that we know are super valuable, right? Mm-hmm. And this makes them deeper. But then there are those that were like, you know what? This relationship is so important to me. And I didn't realize till I couldn't have that person around all the time. And I need to let them know that they're, you know, that they're one of my people and I need to put more value there and maybe extract some of the things that you're not missing so much. Like, oh, I'm not missing that conversation, you know, or whatever. Maybe it's some of our own habits that we're not missing that we're like, oh, right. Okay. I can do without that.
Well, and I think that that's a great reminder for those of you that are listening right now and watching even on the replay is there somebody in your life that you do need to reach out to say, hey, you know, I really love you and I appreciate you and I thank you for being in my life and I don't say it often enough. And on the other side of that, is there some people in your life that you're looking at and going, yeah, you know what? The vibration feels different now and why would you this relationship and why we're in it now might be two different things. Just getting honest with yourself.
And you know, yeah, I love that you said that. And I want to also look at it from the other perspective is like, who's reaching out to you? Mm-hmm. Like just take note, you know, like take note of the people who value you, like who's reaching out to you and saying, hey, how you doing? And because it's not always the people that we think, right? Yeah. And then it makes us kind of step away and go, wow, this is super powerful that this person, I'm on this person's mind enough that they took 30 seconds to get on their phone and reach out. And I've really noted that during this is that there are those people who are, you know, kind of your invisible superstars, you know, they're not always right there, but when there's a crisis, they show up for you.
Yes.
And not because they expect anything, just because you're on their mind and everybody likes to know that, you know?
Yeah. And you're in their heart and they, and their
heart. Yeah. That's better. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. Mm. I love it. So talk to me about the, divine feminine. So you said that there's a right now at this time, and we were talking about light workers, but that there's a call for, to really kind of embrace and step into the divine feminine. So what does that mean? You.
Yeah. So, okay. I have a kind of a neat story. So first of all, I've always loved the term divine feminine, and divine feminine has shifted me over time. There was a time when I thought divine feminine was a woman. Now when I speak of divine feminine, I actually feel like it's more like the divine feminine spirit, divine feminine power. So as long as we're tapping into that, you know, it's kind of hard to explain, but and I think it's because I'm still working my way around it. But what I believe to be true is this, that the beginning of COVID, I had a really interesting conversation with a friend of mine who's a shaman. And he said, you know, Marlo, what's really beautiful about this is this is the time that women have been called into. And I said, what do you mean by that? And he said, well, my teachers and sages and the shamans that I've been studying with have been saying for many years that there would come a time in history when it would be considered the age of the divine feminine. And it would be when the masculine energy was no longer supporting what the world needed. And the women would be called in to use things like compassion, forgiveness, conversation, patience, spiritual awakening, strategy, because actually strategy, strangely enough, is one of the divine feminine characteristics, is we're great strategists. Like, think about what a mother does in a day, sure. Right? So yeah. Women are actually incredible strategists. We can multitask. And he said, this is the time where women, divine feminine leaders, and they might not even know they're leaders, right, are being called. And I think this is why so many women are like, I'm finding my purpose right now. I'm like out there bringing people food and I'm, you know, they're stepping into these caring, like this caregiver role, which is like a global caregiver, right? They remember when COVID first happened and there was like a shortage of masks and all of a sudden you saw all these women and they were like sewing masks and they were putting meals together and they were, and I was like, there's a piece of our soul that nurtures the human side of what's going on with the physical, you know, kind of the physical, the spirit on the physical plane. I really feel like women are really good at nurturing that. And so right now I am finding that there are infinite numbers of women's communities popping up and they're serving and they're showing up. And a lot of women in my circle are like, I don't think I'm going to go back to work. I think I'm really loving what I'm doing. And that's what I mean. I just believe that we're surging forward and it's kind of like, okay, boys, step aside for a minute, you know, like let us do some of this stuff here because we're in, the world is in crisis. Mother Earth is in crisis. The human body, like as a collective, we're in crisis. We're killing each other and we're like, right. And women are the ones that are saying, okay. And I'm not saying that men aren't doing this. This is not exclusive of men. But again, even when men step into this role of like as a healing, compassionate soul, they talk about how those are some of their divine feminine characteristics, right? So, you know, we all have the yin and the yang and the masculine and feminine. So that's what I mean by we're being called. I feel like if a woman is feeling, I kind of want to speak to anybody who's watching this, who might be like, she's speaking my language, like she's talking about me. I want to, you know. I just want to invite anybody to really explore that if they're feeling that way, that it means that they're probably being called to be part of the surge. You know, there's like the first wave and the second wave. I think there's going to be another surge of women that say, I'm ready now. Like I had to get my family organized and, but I'm ready to step in. So yeah, I think that's what I mean. You know, you know, like it's, there's so much to say around that, but I'm still putting it into words because so much has changed in the last 6 months as to what that means to me. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and it will continue to change, right? As life continues to give us open doors, opportunities.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So what I'm hearing in that is that a big piece of what maybe has been missing is that piece of nurturing that that all people need, and it isn't that men aren't capable of giving it, but it's natural for the feminine aspect, whether we're in a physical female body or male body, that the nature of the feminine energy is to bring in that nurturing, and that's what's needing to, you know, to be more engaged, to step in more, to take over more, because we need. We need to be seen and heard and recognized and loved as we are.
Amen, sister. Like the peaceful, like the word that's coming to me, it just keeps coming, is peaceful communication. Mm. And like whatever communication, physical, energetic, words, like I feel like we need to come in and be like, can we all just like namaste for a minute? Like, can we just bring it down a notch? And let's have a conversation because there's so much one way right now. And women communicate, I mean, since the beginning of time, and I talk about it, this a lot within the Uncommon Woman, is circle, right? Women have been communing and having conversation at like Red Tent, like since the beginning of time. We get into circle, which is infinite, and everybody's equal. And we would sit no matter what we were doing and we would sit in circle. And it is in those circles that wars have been won, that, you know, women have figured out how to feed their communities, that the children have been healed, or how they're going to deal with the dead or the ill or whatever. We do really well in circle.
Yes.
We don't do so great in you and then you and then, right? Like we right. do well in let's have a conversation. And so I feel like that's where we could really come in. And I think we are stepping in and saying like, let's just have a conversation. Let's yeah. all just, first of all, like, I love you, human. Okay, let's have a conversation, right? We don't have to agree.
In that, the circle kind of, to me, a circle always represents equality too. It represents
right.
nobody's up, nobody's down, nobody's higher or lower, they're better than worse, good or bad. It's just—
it's no hierarchy, right?
Right, we're equal.
Yes.
We're here to hear and, yeah. and to listen.
We're here to hear.
Mm-hmm. Here
we
to
could
hear.
Like flip those words around and they would work. Mm-hmm. We're here to hear and we're here to hear. Yeah. yeah. Or we're here to hear.
Yeah.
Love it. Yeah. So I feel strongly about that. And even just conversations like this, you know, with you and I right now, you know, you're in Sedona, which is, no, you're in Phoenix.
Arizona.
So you're in Arizona, you know, so you're way over there. Right.
Yep.
And I'm way over here. We're having two very different experiences politically, socially, with COVID, everything. Yet here we are having a conversation. We can still sit and say, yeah, we have so much in common.
Right.
So much in common, yeah. you know?
Always looking for the commonalities instead of the differences. I think that's yeah. part of the divine feminine. That's what we do is we see.
It's a good place to start. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I agree. So how does, this might be an interesting question. How does the feminine or female leadership, how different is it? Or what does it look like in comparison to the male leadership?
Oh my gosh. I'm so glad that you asked me this right now. I literally just read an article about this yesterday.
Oh, great.
I know. Now I have to remember what the five were. But one of the first things that showed up was the compassionate ear versus the judgmental ear. Mm. And again, I'm framing this by saying, I'm not saying that all men are judgmental.
Right.
But women tend to step away and process and come from a space of heart versus head, right? Mm-hmm. And as we all know, things like prejudice, any of those emotions like anger and hatred and all that kind of stuff, they're actually a product of something else, right?
Right.
And generally it's fear, right? Mm-hmm. You can go back to all of those and you
I'm
can
sure.
experience
I'll
fear.
Come down. Yeah.
Right. And so women tend to be really good at, in general, mulling over something and kind of pulling it apart and looking at the origin of it, mm-hmm. right? So that's one of the thing that's really great about divine feminine leadership. And also I just really believe in my own, based on my own experience, is that women can, for the most part, sit around and set down differences really quickly, mm-hmm. because we can do that thing, which is sit in a circle and get open and vulnerable and share a little bit about what is similar. Mm-hmm. We're really good at that. Like, I mean, I have created live events where women from all different walks of life who have different political beliefs and different religious beliefs, different skin color, different experience, economic, socioeconomic background, and they come in a room and the only thing that they have in common, but the most important thing that they have in common is their experience, and they all have a painful experience, which I don't know any human who doesn't. And when right. we come in and we say, you know, here's what my experience has been, it's like everything else drops away. And yeah. then when you create that super strong relationship and that bond right there, then you can sit down with that person afterward and say, okay, so here's something that we need to talk about or we disagree on, but we've both experienced hard things, we can do this, mm-hmm. right? And we've already created this like foundation that is timeless, something you can't take away from us. And I truly believe it's why in the Uncommon Woman community, we have these friendships with women in this group who've been close for so long, even though their lives are so different. Mm-hmm. Because the one thing that they have in common, yeah. maybe it could be that they experience sexualized violence, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. They get each other at like a level that nothing could break that bond. And right. so then they just have a greater understanding, you know?
I think
there's so many.
You think also that women in and or at least the feminine aspects of us, have a tendency to be able to put ourselves in other people's shoes better. Like we can, I can sit and listen to you and I can feel into right where you could be. And I think we have a willingness to go there.
Right. Vulnerability, you know, truthfully from, you know, kind of like a traditional societal perspective, right, vulnerability was always for the women.
Right.
And if there's ever been a time that we need to be vulnerable, it's now vulnerable. Yeah. Right. And so whereas men have a difficult time because not their fault, they have been told, you know, just get her done. Like put your emotions aside, put your feelings aside and get her done. And women were like, we can't do that, you know, but now that we have this world crisis, women are coming in and saying, aha, we need to talk about feelings. And when you say this word, I feel this way. And now we need to change all of the, you know, all of the documentation through this entire organization, because like we were saying 20 years ago, it makes people feel a certain way, you know? So yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm no expert in that masculine feminine dualities, but what I can say is I think that there are some things that are just innate, right? Just like men have innate strengths. Mm-hmm. And so do we. Yeah. And I think they're really showing up right now. Mm-hmm. Capacity to be very generous is another one.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, I just think of all the women who are around me who have been incredibly generous through COVID. And they're women who had lost their jobs, women whose husbands had lost their, and yet here they are cooking meals for people and driving all over and making masks late into the night. And I'm just thinking, in the midst of this world crisis, and your family is in crisis, you're like, I got to help this person. It's just, and they don't question it because it's something that's innate. It's that generosity. I think it's why mothers are mothers, right? It's why women are mothers. I mean,
I think that, you know, we, like when the pandemic hit, March 13th is when Arizona shut down.
Yep.
And by March 17th, I talked to my team and I said, I know that I need to do something. And I think that that's part of it. We've got this emotion and we are empaths. We feel the feelings coming on and we go, okay, I need to do something. And I know if I need to do something, there are a whole lot of other people that feel like they need to do something. So for me, I created this Hearts Helping Humanity and we created an organization where people, if they needed food, if they needed house supplies, they could put in a post and say, we need this. And we would find people to match it. And people donated money and they donated items and products. And we had,
wow, that's amazing.
A very short amount of time. And I think because we need to be able to take action in a way that moves us, that moves the energy for us. And we're aware of that. We might not be conscious of it, but we're aware that, okay, I need to do something. I need to do what I can to help. And so whether it's I cook meals, because that's the way I can give love, because the doing is giving love. It's giving love in whatever form we can. Giving love through money, giving love through time, giving love through sewing masks, whatever it is.
Women love to give love through action.
Yes.
You know, I love that you just said that because that just came to me. It's like none of them were like, I'm just going to write a check. You know,
right.
It was like, I want to put my heart into it. I need to heal myself.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that I can heal myself right now is to help others,
yes,
because it's so healing. What's that quote? When we feel helpless, help others. Right. Yes. And I feel like that's like the woman's mantra. And that doesn't mean that we're feeling helpless and empty, so we're just going to give. It's more like we feel as women nurtured, even if we just pick up the phone and say, hey, I'm reaching out. It's, we feel good after. It's a thing.
It feeds us. I know for me, service feeds me, whether it's service in work where I'm getting paid or whether it's service in just showing up and being of support to people, it feeds me.
Yes. Amen to that. I agree. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. It's an awakening, you know, like, and I feel like women are awakening. So you said something really interesting. I wanted to touch on it. You said, we don't know why we're doing it, but we do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where the awakening is right now, is that women are saying, hey, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. I've always been like this, but I'm realizing my awakening, right, is that I've always been like this because this is me.
Right.
I want to serve from here. I don't want to be out there doing this other thing that, you know, sucks my soul dry. I want to be serving because, this is me. And there's a reason why I love this. Maybe it's because, like you said, you were on food stamps before. And I'm like, oh, so here's a person who was on food stamps in her past. And now what does she love to do? Mm-hmm. Cook for other people. Yeah. And that's part of her service. That's not a coincidence, right?
Right.
It's like you see value where you have had your pain. That's the awakening right there. Sure. That's the bridge. That's the connection. Yeah.
And it really pretty much, I think, just personal, sunny opinion, it's time for women to be in charge for a while. We've had enough masculine energy in charge, and not that it hasn't served a purpose, but it is certainly a good opportunity and a good time to change it up.
Right. Yeah. You know, and whatever that looks like. It was so funny the other day, somebody was like, Oprah for president. I was like, no, you know, she does so much good. If she was put in a presidential seat, they would shut all that down.
Right.
And I was just like, be careful what you wish for. But yeah, I agree that we need to have some, and I think it's coming, Sunny.
Yeah.
I don't know. I also believe that we are being, what we have been working toward as a humanity is now being reflected back at us. And it's like, oh shit. We haven't been super conscious. And
right.
So I have faith that consciousness has arisen and it's upgraded since all of this. And I feel like maybe the world is looking a little bit different, even though it's messy right now.
Yeah.
Somebody compared it to, you know, like when you're in like one of those lakes that's got kind of like a loose bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And from the top, you know, things are starting to kind of slow down a bit. But underneath, there's all that like,
yeah.
Filter or something. I feel like, you know, it's like that. We still have work to do, right? Like there's still a lot of work to do, but there is some change. I feel like there is some change and it's going to be slow. I mean, real change takes time.
Yeah. Well, your perspective is better than mine. Mine is it's the birth canal and it's bloody and it's stinky and it's yucky and it's really uncomfortable and painful. And then as you squeeze through that, and it takes quite a bit of time sometimes, you get to the other side and you have this beautiful gift. And
right, yeah.
We're the birth canal.
I feel like, we are for sure. Mm-hmm. And we've been in it for a really long time.
We sure have. And it's been a long ass labor. And
it's been a long ass, poor mama. You know, she's like ready to tap out, right? But bless her soul.
Okay, so Marlo, you have a workbook that you said you might be able to share with everyone if they wanted to download about a workbook to guide women as they awaken into their highest version of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Where do they find it?
Yeah, so they can go to theuncommonwoman.com/awaken. I try to keep things simple because now we're all like, whoa. And the whole workbook, it's about a 50-page workbook that I put together during COVID. But it's all about setting down what no longer serves and really getting super clear. And we do a lot of pulling away and cleaning things up so that we can see clearly and just awaken. And of course, everybody's awakening looks different right now. But I feel like, anybody who feels like they're ready to shed something, I feel would have a really good experience with this workbook. Or if you just want to upgrade or check in, you know, do a little quick check-in.
uncommonwoman.com/awaken. Okay.
Yep.
Beautiful. All right. I'm going to ask you some off the cuff questions.
Yay. Love
just
those.
Just fun, playful ones. Okay.
All right. I'm ready, sister.
All right.
I'm going to get all cozy here. Okay.
I already know what you're reading now because you said The Alchemist, which is such
a book. So good. Yeah. I can tell you what I want to read next.
I read it again last year. So I love it.
Yeah. I'm running a book club about it right now, actually. But I want to read City of Girls next. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Because it's supposed to be super good.
Yeah. Liz's book. Yes.
I need something light. Okay.
Okay. All right. What is your earliest memory?
The childhood house that I grew up in, my bedroom, I had like the cutest little bedroom with a balcony that had Lily of the Valley underneath, and that smell I love. Yeah.
How sweet. I love that.
I know. I love it too.
I love it. Okay. What is your favorite place that you've ever visited?
Florence, Italy.
Mm. Is that where you went for your 50th birthday?
Yes. Uh-huh. I don't even, like, it's just, yeah. They sang me happy birthday on a little patio in Florence in Italian. And I didn't know anybody. It was like, how can you just, yeah, Florence is like the Petit Bijou of Italy, right? It's just, have you ever been there?
I have not.
It's where all, oh.
I have not been.
It's so beautiful. It's just a little small, quaint, artisty, funky space. Yeah, you would love it.
Yeah. It's on my list when we can freaking travel again.
Yeah, sister, I'll be there.
Yeah.
I'll meet you there.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, what's your favorite quote?
Oh my gosh, I have so many. Okay, I'm going to give you my most recent one.
Okay.
All pyramids have sand around them.
That's deep.
The Alchemist.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So like, good, right?
For a minute.
You guys, we're walking the freaking desert right now. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's
actually thinking getting that as a tattoo. Anyway, I love it.
I like it.
Has so much meaning, right? You could like do a paper on that.
Ooh, that's deep. Okay. Yeah. Okay. What is your best quality?
It can't be one word, but it is making people feel safe so that they can share anything.
Mm.
Yeah. Like just creating that.
That's a beautiful gift.
Thanks.
What is your not greatest quality?
Procrastination.
Okay. I know some people struggle with that one themselves.
Yeah. You know, a few people.
I do. Okay. If you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be?
A palm tree.
Ooh.
Yeah. They're like super resilient.
Yeah. They do. They actually bend
and touch the sand.
They sure can.
That's me, sister.
I love it. Okay.
Oops.
What was your first job?
Oh my God, that's so funny. McDonald's, and I got fired at the end of the first day. I hated it. I did.
Okay.
Seriously. My mom was like, what?
Who gets fired from McDonald's?
Everybody gets a job at McDonald's. I was like, yeah, not me. So funny.
My last off the cuff question is, what was or is your favorite band?
Il Divo.
Really?
That's like only, I have so many, I know that's today. Okay. But the truth is like, I have so many, like, it's more like what genre, what, right?
Okay.
So right now I'm listening to Il Divo cranked in my car.
Okay.
Two reasons.
What genre do you usually like? What's your favorite?
So here's the thing is I really love female solo artists. Like, Sheryl Crow and Stevie Nicks and Erykah Badu. But that's not a band, right? So then I had to go to, like, I did a lot of mental gymnastics when you asked me that question.
I was like, yes, you did, man. You could have just given me a singer. I would have taken
it. You're like, Il Divo? What? That's not even a band, you know? But like four good looking guys who can knock it out of the park. I've been to see them live like 3 or 4 times. And
I know I'm familiar. Like, what's their popular song?
So they do covers, right? But they're like a soprano, a tenor, you know, and okay. They'd be like, you know, like kind of like the three tenors, but they're not all tenors. And they just, there's an American, there's a Frenchman, there's a guy from Switzerland, and there's a guy from Spain. And they're all just like, to die for. They can fill the room with their songs. Mm. And I've seen them live. Like, they're performers, right? Uh-huh. So
I'm not
very good at off the cuff because it ends up being like a 20-minute
conversation. That's okay. I don't know.
But anyway, that's it today. Tomorrow I would be a different thing. Probably.
I like to change.
What's yours? I'm curious.
Well, probably I would say. Well, I actually really, and people are going to give me shit about this, but I really, really love the Bee Gees. And
I'm really
sad that I never got to see them in concert.
I love the Bee Gees.
I do. I love the Bee Gees.
Yeah. So don't make me feel bad about
concert,
that.
But I did go to Vegas twice and I saw the Australian Bee Gees and they were a good second. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, like that's the thing. No, we crank up the Bee Gees at my parents' place.
Yeah.
A lot.
Well, my husband, does not like this, but I do. So that's all.
Oh, really? Oh, no. So
but
they have so much.
Looks like John Travolta from Saturday Night Fever. So, you know.
Well, here's the thing is that the Bee Gees, like, if you just stepped away and listened to their voices were off the charts. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. how many men do you know that can sing that high?
No, how many of men do it sound like are actually women the whole time until you look at them? Like, they have such beautiful.
Right. Yeah.
I'm with you.
I love that. Yeah. But we're not. This is a funny thing is, you know, when you start saying things like Bee Gees and Il Divo, people are like, she's probably over 40. I had my nephew's girlfriend over last night and I put on music and she was like, she gets really tense. She's like, cause she's like 24. And I put on something, I don't know, it was like super 80s. And I don't remember. We were just laughing. I said to her, this is just, you know, I apologize. I don't know any cool music after like the 90s because I just shut down.
I was '70s, '80s for sure. My youngest son is 23 and he'll be 23 next week, but he really appreciates like older. So like he likes the Beatles and he'll listen to Doors. And so he's kind of more open for a 23-year-old, but most of the time, I have no idea what he's listening to.
I know, right? And then I'm like, who is that? And they're like, you don't know who this is?
Uh-huh. Nope.
I don't. Nope. Anyway, it's funny.
Well, it was so fun to talk with you. So, Marlo, if you had one last message you would just want to share with those that have been watching and listening, what would that be, my friend?
Hang in there. Like, you know, I don't have anything super genius to say right now because I'm on a bit of a holiday for the last 2 weeks, but I really feel like at this point, we're just, you know, this too shall pass. I really believe that we are here because we need to be here right now. And it's a difficult thing to say. And I am horrified by the number of people that have died and by the things that are happening in the world. But I know that this too shall pass.
Yeah.
And if we can be here together and having these kinds of conversations and kind of like raising the vibe and just reminding ourselves that it's impermanent, you know, that we're gonna be in a really good place and we'll have each other and we'll have had some really damn good conversations.
That's right.
By the time this whole thing is over.
That's right.
I don't think anybody's having a normal conversation, you know? So it's good. It's good. Yeah. Just hang in there. Yeah. Spend lots of time in the sun, you know, eat good food, get your hand in the soil.
Yeah. Move your body, eat good food.
Move your body. Yeah. Drink lots of water. Yep. Slow down, read a good book. Read a shitty book, whatever, you know?
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah,
I like
that's it.
Thank you, sister. I appreciate your time.
Thank you to everybody who's here. I absolutely adore you. Be safe over there. And thank you so much for inviting me in today. I really honor you for that.
Thanks,
darling. Sending you love.
All right. Bye. Thank you, darling. All right, my friends. So that was Marlo Ellis with The Uncommon Woman. Again, if you wanted to check out her download, it was theuncommonwoman.com/awaken. So you can go and grab that. Thank you so much for joining me. If you have enjoyed this, you can go to, or you can watch me every weekday at 1:11 PM Pacific time for Off the Cuff. I have great interviews and interviewing change makers like Marlo and others. Next week we've got Carol CC Miller is going to be with me. I'm so excited to have her because she's one of my sweet, sweet friends. And she's going to be sharing with you all about love and hugs and how to really, be loving on yourselves as well. So I'm excited about that. And, I will see you guys, tomorrow. So thank you so much for listening to Off the Cuff with SDJ. If you gained some knowledge, if you felt a connection, if you got some ahas or insight into this thing we call life, if you feel like you're a little more elevated than you were before you listened to this podcast, then please subscribe to this podcast. And if you're already signed up, please rate and review it. I'd greatly appreciate it. If you want to get more information about me and what I have to offer, go to my website, sunnydonjohnston.com. Thanks so much, my friend, and I hope to see you next week.